Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. John Ledyard and Trevor Sikkema on a Thursday. Ready to talk. We finished our positional rankings. Now we're ready to talk about the 2018 NFL Draft Big Board of yours truly, the preseason edition of it. So don't be too harsh, you
no,
fans.
No, be really harsh.
Because that's Trevor Sikkema's job. His job is to absolutely destroy me today on my takes on the 2018 NFL draft class. Before we do that, though, buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated, but there is a better, simpler way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to live events. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just two taps. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. The SeatGeek app on your phone is one of the most convenient ways to search for tickets. I mean, it just organizes the information nicely for you. You know, saves you the time and the money. They search multiple sites to find the best prices, the best deals. It's been incredibly helpful to me in the past, whether it's for concerts or for sporting events. And you get the most bang for your buck. SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. And best of all, our listeners get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code LONFL today. That's promo code LONFL for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Make sure you guys check that out. I know a number of you have, and you've been really, really pleased with the experience. It's been cool to hear that from you guys. All right, Trev, you ready?
Yeah.
What's the first most thing you hate about my top 50 big board?
Well, to start, you have two DBs that are in the top five, that and neither of which are named Derwin James. You want to explain yourself?
Well, see, here's the thing about Derwin James, and
see,
I said this.
You're wrong. No,
here's the thing about Derwin. I am, even having him at nine troubled me a little bit, because I am not like especially when I'm doing preseason rankings. To me, like, I want to see the player consistently prove it out on the field, and then I'll move him up. I have nothing against it. You know, there's not like a personal bias if I put him down in the 50s or something like that because he barely played last year. And because he needs to show me a lot more, you know, it wouldn't be like I would be hesitant to then move him up if he showed it. I just want to see it on tape. I don't like going off of, you know, the promise of a player. You know, he's got great size and athleticism, you know, but we haven't seen him on the field. And, you know, when he was a freshman, I thought his play speed was lacking at times. He could have made a lot more plays, which is completely normal for a freshman, you know, but there's not many freshmen I watch and I'm saying, oh, this guy's a definite top 10 pick. So it's kind of where I'm at with Derwin James. I just need to see him play. Like, that's the biggest thing for me, because last year, like I said, he only played like a game and a half. And so I just got to see him play this season, and then I'll have a much better idea where to assess him. He's a guy that can move up to potentially even a one spot. You know, it's not out of the question. Or he's a guy that can move down if when I see him, he doesn't play well. So there's just a lot of unknown for me with Derwin James, and I didn't know where to put him on the board. It was harder for me to rank him on this board than it probably is for other people who just go off the look of the player and want to rank him higher.
I'm much more of a potential guy than you are. I think people are starting to realize that with their rankings, and so, like, especially in the preseason, I have no problem taking big chances on guys who I see a ceiling for. And so I think you and I have a different style of scouting, which I guess makes for a good podcast, perhaps. But I was just surprised to see you had two DBs over him. That was Jaire Alexander and Minkah Fitzpatrick, who are good players. Yeah. Not saying they're not, but over a guy like that. So Plus,
Derwin played like a real versatile, like a lot in the box role. And what do you, you know, what's the value for a guy like that? And, you know, is he going to play around a lot of scrimmage? Can he be a single high guy? We haven't seen him like that a ton. I think he has a lot of traits that would lend itself to it. But so much more goes into that: route recognition, instincts, you know, ability to break on the ball and time your jumps. And
where did you have Jabril Peppers last year?
Third round grade. But he was actually literally a linebacker in college. I mean, you know, he like didn't play on the back end at all in coverage.
So you were very low on him then.
I thought that he had the potential to be a good player, but there was just, in terms of him having to be a safety in the NFL and not having played safety, and there being only like the fact that he was fast and decently sized to kind of go along with his transition to safety, it was just a complete unknown. And there was a lot of other players I'd rather have had at the safety position. And somebody was going to take that risk, obviously, but it was just kind of like you know, right now he's a big nickel, and there's nothing that he shows on tape that suggests he's a deep ball safety. And I've heard he's done pretty decent in preseason action.
Well, yeah, because the Bucs played the Browns last week, and he played safety for him. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what, he had an interception on Jameis, which, you know, I mean, the throw wasn't great from Jameis, but still, Peppers was fully breaking where the ball was going already, was right in position. Returned it for a big gain. He's the kick returner for him too, and then he was just flying all over, kind of making hits, and so that was great to see. But the reason I ask you is because, yeah, it's potential. The Peppers example is kind of similar to the Derwin James example right now, and so your thought process has not changed, and not that that's bad. It's not, I didn't mean it like that, but like that's the same thing for you. It just proves that you are much more of a, I have to see what he is doing and what he is capable of, rather than project something someone has never done before. So
yeah, because at the NFL level, I mean, for every one of those guys that might pan out, there's
a
bunch more that never make it. Yeah, so, and no, I think Derwin is going to play true safety this year, though, right? I mean, he might be in the box at times as well, but I think he's going to play, you know, in the back end, and we're going to see him.
They'll have Rush plenty, though.
Yeah, he'll probably be in a versatile role, but, you know, Jabril Peppers was like just a linebacker, like overhang defender. Like he was like never out of the box. So it was kind of hard to project him to a totally new position, but hopefully Derwin gets more reps on the back end. We'll see. He's going to be one of the most interesting players to watch, I think, because he did miss all last season. And you know, especially if there's another injury, you know, there's just a lot of things surrounding Derwin that just everybody kind of assumes. It's like, remember when Nick Chubb's freshman year and everybody was like losing their minds? Like,
yeah,
Nick Chubb's going to be, you know, why does he have to go back for another year of school? That was like the common narrative. Like, right. This is ridiculous. He should just be able to come out as a true freshman. And then he got hurt and now he comes out. And now who would have ever guessed from Nick Chubb's freshman year that he would be back for a senior season? I mean, it's just, nobody would have guessed it, and with the injury and not feeling like he was back to 100% and everything like that. So you know, there's that with Derwin. He's got to prove that he can come back from injury. He's got to prove that he can be 100% healthy. And then he's got to prove that he can, you know, master the more consistency at the position. But clearly he's one of the most intriguing players in the country. I'm just a little hesitant to crown guys. I'd rather, you know, be reserved and then move forward on him than move backward on a guy that, you know, I was all excited about and then didn't pan out or recover the way that I hoped he would.
All right, so second one that we're moving on to. No QBs in the top 10, mm-hmm. but in the top 50, you got Sam Darnold, you got Josh Rosen, you got Josh Allen, you even have Baker Mayfield.
Mm-hmm, my boy.
No Lamar Jackson?
No Lamar Jackson. Well, you knew from my quarterback rankings that he wasn't going to be in there. Or, well, not that he wouldn't be in the top 50, I guess, but that he wasn't in my top five. My fifth guy was Luke Falk, and he's not – I don't think he even made the cut, if I recall correctly, to get into the top 50. So, yeah, Lamar Jackson's in that, like, late day two, early day three range maybe. If he improves in the way that I hope he will, I could see him being higher in on day two. But to me – the accuracy issues are pretty significant with Lamar Jackson. And I think that his ability to play within structure actually doesn't concern me a ton. Like, I know people are going to say he's just a runner and things like that. And he does run a lot, but he's still, you know, I think that he plays within structure decently, you know, not, it's not like to the level that somebody like Sam Darnold does. And, you know, but I think that he does that decently. And then I love quarterbacks who are athletes, you know, that can make things. I think that makes him so much more dangerous as players. So I love that about him. But the accuracy concerns and his ability, the deep ball with the deep ball are real big concerns for me. I don't think he does either of those things very well right now. And I'm, I'm very anti-accurate quarterbacks or inaccurate quarterbacks. It's like my biggest thing when I have my grading scale for NDT that I do to evaluate these guys. When I run them through it, accuracy is the thing that I weigh the most. And I think he really, really needs to improve in that area. Now, I thought he got better from his first year to this past year. So if he takes another leap, you know, we revisit the conversation and see it. But he does have a real quick release. I like that about him. Also, his size. We've heard that he put on weight and got to like 212 pounds. That's encouraging. He needs to be able to do that because he was like 200 pounds. Some places were even saying like 195, things like that. And there's not a lot of quarterbacks at that size that have had success or even made it in the league. So the fact that he's able to gain some weight and bulk up a little bit is key. And then where he comes in height-wise will also be pretty key.
So you have two running backs in the top five. There's like two in the top 10 and then three in the top 15. Here's just a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
And those three guys are Scarborough, Barkley, and Geis.
Yeah.
How many running backs do you think can end up in your top 15 at the end of the year?
Man, my top 15,
yes.
If Chubb were to like go back to freshman year form, maybe, I don't know whether Scarborough will be there because
Michelle's the next closest guy at 27, I think.
Yeah, to get in that 15. Right. Yeah. Michelle, how much is he going to have the opportunity to be there? You know what I mean? And Scarborough is in my top 15 now, I believe. But mm-hmm. when by the time next draft season rolls around, like, here's the thing. I've seen a certain number of players at this point. I'm going to see more. And I like Scarborough a ton, but the reality of taking somebody with his injury history that high, you know, eventually I'm going to account for injuries. I didn't really do that much with this, but eventually I'm going to account for injuries. And I mean, his injury history is insane. He's had like a significant injury like for the last 6 years. So you don't see many guys with that type of a track record. So that's going to end up being concerning with him. So I would be surprised if Geis and Barkley fall out of that. My guess is two or three probably in my top 15 overall players. I guess Scarborough could push, but he'd need to get a real clean, you know, great medical report. And that would need to be a knowledge that I could gain probably for me to feel super comfortable with him there. And then Chubb, if he were to recover his old form, maybe, you know, he's a player I actually have below Michelle right now. I like Michelle a lot. I don't know whether I think he'll have enough opportunity. And Michelle's kind of a finished product to me. Like, actually, I'm not really sure why Michelle went back. I think he's kind of who he is.
Yeah, we don't either.
Yeah,
we're
it's
not
like
weird. Either.
And he's just going back to split carries with Chubb again and risk an injury. So I'm not really sure why he went back. But I think he's a really good player. I think he's a great back. I mean, if you're second round back, he's great fit. Good fit for the modern NFL. But yeah, I don't know that I'll have more than two or maybe three in my top 15.
All right, so you have two running backs in the top three. Mm-hmm. A running back is obviously not going to get taken number one overall, okay? So let's just say you're the Jets. Put on your green hat, be the GM of the Jets. Sorry if you're a Jets fan listening to this, but you're going to be picking number one.
Yeah.
You have Connor Williams number two on your board. And let's say that, you know, in the NFL, the people who go number one are who? Passers, pass protectors, and pass rushers, mm-hmm. right? Those
yep.
are the three guys that go number one. So you got Connor Williams number two on your board. You have Maurice Hurst at number six. And then you have Sam Darnold at number 11.
Mm-hmm.
You yourself, you've got a draft right now, number one, for the 2018. Which one of those guys are you taking?
If I'm the Jets?
Yeah.
I don't know that you can do much of anything without a quarterback. You know, even if you get somebody like Connor Williams, you know, I still think there'd be so many issues there. Right,
let's say not even the Jets. Let's just say any team.
Oh, any
like,
team?
Just any random team. Who are you taking number one? Who is worth number one right now to you of those top three guys?
Between Williams, Hurst.
Connor Williams, Maurice Hurst, and Sam Darnold.
Williams. He'd be most worth it. My concerns with Williams are probably only that I don't know what the NFL is going to think of him because I can't get away from the fact that I think his arms are really short for a tackle, and I don't really care that much, but NFL teams definitely care, and it's something that gets talked about every year, and there have been some analytical studies done that show that it's not, you know, some say that it's not important, some say it's very important, so there's a lot of back and forth on that. So that I could see us arguing that the short arms of Connor Williams throughout the draft process, if that ends up being true. Hopefully it isn't, because he's got great feet and a great ability to play the position well. I think there's some things with his pass sets that are going to need work, but traits wise, I mean, and he is absolutely destructive in the run game. I mean, he's awesome in that regard. So I would take him, but I mean, obviously with another year, Sam Darnold could really improve. And you know, the value of the quarterback position for a team that probably is drafting number one, say if it were the Jets, you know, then I would think, like, in a vacuum, Connor Williams is the player to me. But if you needed a quarterback, and I've said this before, I'm not crazy high on the 2018 quarterback class yet. I'm just not. I mean, I think that has a lot of potential. We'll see how it goes, where it goes from here. Sometimes that potential is realized. Other times it's not at all. And so we'll see. We'll see what happens. I do think it's an exciting group to watch for college football season, but there's nobody that I look at in the same light as Andrew Luck or Jameis Winston or any of those guys, even Marcus Mariota or any of those coming out as prospects. Like, I don't see guys like that in this class right now. You know, I see guys with lots of potential, but I don't see anybody on that level now where you knew, you know, way ahead of time that these guys are going to be, you know, really high end prospects that are pretty clean across the board. So, but I do think Darnold's the best of the group right now, or has the best promise of the group right now. But I want to see what Josh Rosen looks like when he comes back from the shoulder. I want to see what Josh Allen looks like with another year starting. You know, his accuracy was also troubling. To me, he has unreal, like unreal physical tools. And he has NFL footwork down. His release and his mechanics are really smooth as well. But he's got to play within structure better, got to make better decisions. And with that comes with the, you know, being more accurate, I think. So how he progresses this season is going to be a big for me. But you know, I'm interested in a lot of these guys in the quarterback class, see how they develop. But right now, I think Darnold's flashed the most.
So I know you like Jack Sitchy. He's number 18 here.
Mm-hmm.
You said that you didn't take injury too much into concern. Right. Does Jack Sitchy stay on your top 50 by the time the draft rolls around, yes or no?
As long as his medical reports are good, probably, yeah. But also there's the question of, I don't know what will happen with Sitchy. Like, I don't know how it works in terms of getting another year of eligibility, or, you know, what he would need to do to pursue that or anything. But, you know, to me, probably comes out, because his injury happens so early.
He can.
Right.
Yeah.
He could pursue.
They
but
with Marcell Harris, they can
right.
apply for medical redshirts.
Did Marcell Harris already redshirt?
I don't think he officially has yet, but I didn't read that. I think he will, though.
Yeah. I think Sitchy's already redshirted, I'm pretty sure. So that could throw a wrench into things. I don't know how it'll work. But
you still think that he would be a top 50 player for you?
Yeah, I think talent-wise he definitely is. It's going to depend on where his recovery's at. That's going to be the hard thing to determine, because now there's going to be no other tape to go off of. So where I see him now, it's just going to depend on who else moves up above him. So as long as his health is good, you know, I'll probably have him pretty high still, because I've probably watched 5 games of him, and I'll go back and revisit and, you know, rewatch things just to make sure. But that's the weird thing about Sitchy. It's like these other guys, there's so much more still to evaluate, and then Sitchy's like done. And it sucks because he's awesome to watch. But that's kind of where he's at right now.
All right.
You think it's clean? That's all you. There wasn't. I mean, I thought you were gonna like Arden Key's not in your top 5.
Well,
oh my gosh,
we've already been over that. You're wrong about Arden Key.
hey, he's 14th on my board. That's pretty freaking good.
Where was Arden Key?
Oh,
he was 14th.
Is he up to like 285 pounds? I wasn't sure where we're at with him. I know he just kept adding weight on Twitter. He was
305 now. Arden Key.
I'm huge. He's playing nose tackle this year, actually.
Yeah,
something to look out for. Sounds good. We'll be back to what we got. Fan Friday tomorrow, right? Fan Friday takes.
Yeah, are we gonna talk about these two games tonight?
Oh yeah, shoot! I totally forgot. We got games on games tonight. College football action, and
by games on games, you mean two? Then yes.
Well, what are you talking
Oklahoma State, and Tulsa. So you get to watch Mason Rudolph and James Washington, and then Ohio State versus Indiana.
You care about.
What did you say?
You mean only two that you care about?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Okay, because there's like a bunch of other games. But
oh.
You're looking at the top 25, probably.
Yeah, so I mean.
The only teams that matter.
Sure.
Yeah. I'm excited to watch the Ohio State DBs, because every year it seems like somebody emerges. I talked about Damon Webb a little bit as my fifth-ranked safety. I'm also excited to watch Denzel Ward, who I thought did some really nice things last year. So, yeah, this is going to be another.
Oh, wait, Arizona State plays tonight.
Yeah, there's like,
dude, Kalen,
12 games tonight.
Oh, okay. I don't care about either of the other two. Actually, I do. I care about watching Mason Rudolph because
Arizona State plays New Mexico State. I mean,
yeah.
What are you going to learn about Kalen Ballage there?
That he's going to run for 500 yards.
Hopefully, if he gets touches.
Yeah, I just hope, honestly, what we're looking for in that game is just that he gets his share. Right. Like, he gets what he should get because right. The last couple of years, he didn't get anything. Right. So,
yeah.
Just give the man the ball, man. Like, he's an athletic freak. Mm-hmm. Like, Balazs is another guy who is not in your top 50 who I could have ripped you for because he's going to be at the end of the year.
No.
Yes, 100%.
No. I mean, he might be at the end of the year. Yeah, I'm completely open to that. But right now.
I mean, he'd be on mine. That's all I'm saying. He's going to be at the end of the year. So I would be right in this instance.
I don't think he's as athletic as people think he is. But
you don't think what?
I don't think he's as athletic as people think he is.
Wow, rude. Yeah. I'm going to spam you with clips the second we get off of this.
That's expected. Minnesota plays tonight. Who are we talking about? Steven Richardson, one of their defensive tackles. He's mm-hmm. going to be a guy worth watching. He's like that low-leveraged, you know, kind of like a Sheldon Day type, but a little bigger than Sheldon Day was. Quick first step, short arms, and like won't fit the like every down prototype, but has some like third down ability maybe. So I'm excited to watch him this season. Utah, Laualutalele. I'm excited to watch. He's a guy I have in the second round right now that came back to school, and I don't think a lot of people expected him to. So I want to see him. Definitely want to see him dominate this season. And of course, Mason Rudolph and Austin Allen play tonight as well. So there's a couple guys to start watching on the quarterback front. JT Barrett, if you still believe that he can be an NFL quarterback, then yeah, I guess he's a guy that plays tonight too. I'm not as high on that as some others maybe, but
I don't think anybody is after last year.
Last year kind of put the nail in the coffin maybe for that. So yeah, message us and tell us who we forgot about from other schools that you guys are like, you know, why didn't you talk about Idaho's third string tight end and the kicker from Sacramento and Elon has like a really good linebacker and, you know,
tell us. Shout out Josh Norris.
We always get those kind of comments. Well, not just us, but everybody. Part of the draft season, part of the beauty of it. Got to deal with it. But yeah, I'll be watching all those games and more tonight. Bucks play tonight. Steelers play tonight. So
I'm not going to be watching any of it. So
yeah, we have to rewatch. We'll have to follow along. I'll be flipping, but I got to watch the Washington game too. Washington and the Bucks play the Washington, right? The Bucks play Washington tonight?
Yes, they play the Redskins tonight. Okay. Sorry.
I thought so. I wasn't sure if you knew where you were going tonight or who you were coming in.
Man, I'm just ready for the preseason to be over. Like, let's get to the regular season, man.
I have to write about that game, though, for FanRag Sports. So I'm going to be writing about it up tonight. I'm going to be up writing about it tonight, and so are you. So maybe I'll just.
Watch the Redskins game, you are?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep.
Oh, okay. Covering nice.
FanRag, right. Yeah. So I'll be up writing about it, and maybe I'll just steal everything off your Twitter time.
Yeah, you're just going to. It's fine. You can. Yeah,
right.
You know, just plagiarize.
Plagiarism. Yep. That's in. It's in these days. We'll be back tomorrow with Fan Friday. We'll put out a feeler for questions from you guys. We'll have tons to talk about. The first college football games, the last preseason games, where the rookies are at heading into the season. You guys will have tons of stuff to ask us about. So excited for tomorrow's podcast already. Until then, make sure you keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.